And good evening. Truly, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. We're preparing for our time together tonight as we get into the Word. For eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard, neither have there entered into the heart of men the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And so we're excited about this time that we're going to spend tonight. My sidekick is not with me tonight. She's, of course, in her next session for her class. And so I'm going to be going solo tonight. So I hope y'all would bear with me as we move through this time together tonight. And I pray that you will be prepared. We're going to be in the sixth and seventh chapters of Ecclesiastes tonight. And we're going to see what God yet has in store for us. This is an exciting study as we continue to move through Ecclesiastes. And so we praise God for each of you who are on the call and those who will hear this particular virtual study by playback. Of course, we have two different sides that are viewing tonight on the streaming side. Thank you for being there. And then those who are on the Facebook Live side, thank you so very much. As we move through this time together, I hope that you have been reading Ecclesiastes and that you have allowed this word to be a seed and fertile soil unto your soul. And so we're going to jump in, and then we'll just give a brief little recap about our services on yesterday. As we indicated, for those of you just coming in, Lady Kim is in one of her sessions for her doctoral program tonight. And she won't be with me tonight, so y'all have a little mercy on me and bear with me as we make our way through this time together tonight. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right in. God, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for, we realize, dear Lord, that in you we live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly that we are nothing without you. And so, God, we ask your choicest blessings to be upon us even tonight as we engage in this time together. And we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. We love you and we honor you, and we thank you now for being our God. We pray for each person that's going to be a part of this time together, and we pray, the Lord, that needs will be met, that doors will be opened, that ways will be made, and that someone will have a better understanding of what you have in store for them as a result of spending this time together. So God, use us in a special way today. And even throughout the remainder of this day that you created, we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and praise God. Well, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes, the sixth chapter and the seventh chapter. But on yesterday, just a brief recap, a powerful time in the Lord. I tell you, God has been favoring us. You know, for the past, well, all of this year, really, and I tell you, all of the time that we have been together, and we're grateful for his presence as he added to the church yesterday, and we praise God for a powerful time in the Lord. It was a high time in the Lord, and we continued our summer series on relationships, and we titled that little summer series Insecure. And we've been trying to deal with different components as it relates to relationships. It's a little different from the way we've done it in the past, but I hope and pray that this has been a blessing to you. And, you know, I believe that as we move through these moments and we move through these times of trying to understand some insecurities, that God will release us and that we will feel his power and his presence, and that we will understand clearly the tactics of the enemy, and we will know how to move through the difficult times that where the enemy tries to hold us hostage. And so we talked from a favorite passage of scripture, well, a familiar passage of scripture, I should say, in Genesis, the 21st chapter, And we jumped in about in the middle of that chapter, starting around verse 14 and read down through verse 19. And of course, many of you are well aware of this story. And we tried to lift up some of the insecurities that Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael dealt with as they were trying to move toward the blessedness that God had already prepared for them and the promise that God had already given Abraham. And so one of the things that we really lifted up in the title of that message, of course, when God turns your insecurities into blessings. And so one of the things we really tried to drive home, and we only got to one point in that particular text, because it was a very difficult time for Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah were well up in years, and God had promised them that he was going to do something special, and Abraham's seed was going to be the lineage that would move forward into the promised land and all of the things that he would have for them as a people. But Sarah was really despondent, if you will, because of her age, and she didn't believe that God was going to be able to do what he said he would do. And so as a result, when Abraham got word from God that he was going to bless them and their seed and that they were going to multiply and was going to come through them, Sarah laughed at God. And that really was one of the first signs of insecurity, because all too often, I believe, even in our own situations and our circumstances, we get to a place in life where many times we think that what God is going to do and what he's promised may not come to pass. And so we have to wait on God. It's important that we understand, just as Isaiah did when he said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up," he says, "on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And so we have to ask God to give us patience and teach us how to wait on him. And so you know the story. Sarah and Abraham, they brought Sarah's handmaiden in, and she began to help push the promise that God had already said would come to pass. And so Hagar, of course, did conceive, and that's where Ishmael came in. And Ishmael grew up in the household, and it was almost 15 years in between, some 13 years in between the time that God had promised Abraham what would happen and the time that Sarah and Abraham did have Isaac. And so as a result of that, Sarah no doubt became frustrated, and Abraham did too as well. And when little Isaac was born, they were still there in the house. And can you imagine some of the toxic situations that perhaps was happening inside of that household? It's kind of hard for us to imagine, but I used my sanctified imagination and just talked a little bit about that, because many times as believers, we live in situations that are toxic, and many times we forget the promises that God has said he would perform in our lives, and we end up doing things that God would never intend for us to do. And matter of fact, we want to get ahead of God. And so we have to make sure that we wait on God and we trust the promise, even when we don't have the possession, and that we stand on the promises of God and believe that God is going to do exactly what he said he would do. And so as a result, these two women probably were going at each other. Abraham and Sarah was probably having some conversation. And then by the time it was Abraham decided to go ahead and release Ishmael and Hagar, the Bible says that, the background of that whole story lets us know that Ishmael was probably about 16 years old when that happened, 15, 16 year old. So he was a teenager, and Isaac was probably yet 2, maybe 3 years old then. And so Hagar and Ishmael, they left with a water, container. It was a bag during that time. And as a result of them going into the wilderness, she was going into a familiar territory, but she began to wonder. And I talked about that a little bit yesterday. How oftentimes we can be in a familiar place, and when we lose sight of what God has instructed us to do, we can wander and we can be in that place longer than we intend to be and longer than God intends for us to be. And she became lost and weary and frustrated. The water ran out. You know the story. And so we talked about that, and then how God provided for them, made provisions for them. He told her, first of all, fear not, for God has heard the lad cry. He had heard his cry, and the angel of the Lord said to Hagar, Hagar, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing what you're doing? Fear not. And see, that's the tactic of the enemy. Many times the enemy will come in and try to steal, kill, and destroy. And he also will try to come in and cause fear to take the place of our faith. But we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, hallelujah, but the power of love and of a sound mind. And so the angel of the Lord had to reassure Hagar of the promise that God had already provided. And so he said, look, Hagar, here's what I need you to do. Even though she had placed her Ishmael over to the side about a bow shot away, and we talked about that a little bit, how it's about 50 to 100 yards when you talk about how people who are archers, they use that as a distance mark, if you will, for them to get their targets and all of that. And so she took the child and placed him under the tree. And we keep saying child, but he was really a teenager. And then she began to go back and just worry about, because she didn't want to see her son die. And so the angel of the Lord told her to arise, lift up the lad, and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. So she repeated to Hagar what God had already promised Abraham, and reassured her that even though she was in the wilderness, even though she was wondering, that God was going to provide. And so this was part of the provision aspect that I didn't get to put that first point on yesterday. And when she did what God had instructed her to do, then God opened her eyes. Isn't that something? You know, many times we can get to a place and a point in our lives where the promise is right there in front of us, but our eyes are not open. And obedience, I believe, releases the veil that many times keeps our eyes shut from what God has already given us. And it's just right there in our presence, but we get so tied up and confused about every other thing. But the Bible says when she obeyed God, when she obeyed the angel, when she did what was required of her to do, the Lord opened her eyes and she saw a well. And she went and filled the skin. It was a bottle skin. You know, they didn't have bottles like what we have today. But she had a skin with water in it. And they made it probably out of some animal skin. And she was carrying that. And she filled the bottle with water. And she gave the lad to drink. And so that was the portion that we got to on yesterday, talking about the provision. So I want to encourage somebody today, because it could have been very easily, after the water ran out, she could have thrown the bag away that was empty. Don't throw the bottle away. That's good. And don't throw that bottle away, because God has something in store for you. There is something in the well, and you're going to need a container in order to hold it. I'm not going to tell you too much about what I'm going to preach about next week, but that's powerful. But I see God doing something powerful in our lives if we but just stay consistent and obedient to what he requires, the preparation and the acceptance, and God will bless in a powerful and a mighty way. Somebody might be wandering tonight. Somebody might be in a wilderness place. Somebody might be on reserve in there. Substance has run out, but I want to encourage you to continue to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding. And in all of your ways, not just some of your ways, now all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And so we got to ask the Lord, as Minister Loretta said, to refill us. Lord, we need a refilling. We need a refreshing. And you got to hold on to what God has already given you, because that can be the very thing that he's going to use in order for that refreshing to take place. Somebody say amen. Come on, give God a thumbs up there if you will. And so we want to just talk a little bit tonight in this 6th and 7th chapter of Ecclesiastes. You know, as I was meditating and deliberating and just praying and asking God to lead me tonight, as I said, for those of you just joining us, Lady Kim is in her doctoral program and she's starting another class, and they're having a special session tonight that she had to be a part of. And so she won't be joining me tonight. Hopefully if she gets through before we finish up, she might come and sit in. But one of the things I looked at as I was meditating and deliberating over how we would move through this 6th and 7th chapter tonight was how important it is for us to understand some of the powerful principles that God has put in place for us to understand how we need to execute wisdom and how we need to really think about Solomon and all of the wisdom that he had, and how when he got to the end of his life, he saw that everything that he had hoped for, everything that he had accomplished, all of the things that he was longing for, he called it vanity. It said it's really about nothing. And so if we're going to be satisfied in life, I believe we need to be satisfied to the extent, just like Solomon did as he got to the latter part of his life. We need to understand if we're going to be satisfied to the extent that we see everything that we have is a gift from God. Now, that's where he really got to the point of realizing, after all of his riches, after all of his fame, all of his women, all of the things that he could ever hope or dream for, he had it at his disposal. He trusted God in the beginning. He asked God to give him wisdom and clarity and understanding as to how he would make proper decisions and leading the people. He didn't go in asking for money. He didn't go in asking for all of the material possessions. And as a result of his humility, God says, well, here's what I'm going to do, Solomon. I'm going to give you wisdom that you asked for. And on top of that, icing on the cake, I'm going to give you everything that you can ever desire. And you will be, Solomon, the greatest man who ever had wisdom and possessions. And there will be no other man like you after you. And so God honored him in such a way. And God, even though Solomon turned his back on God, God did not pull his grace away from him. He continued to sustain him. He continued to allow his promise to be over his life, and he continued to cover him. And so Solomon had to come to a place in his life where he recognized that everything that he had was a gift of God. And so that's one thing that I want to say to us tonight. You know, we sometimes search after the material possessions, and many times we look for things in the natural, but God wants you to understand that everything we have is a gift from God, and that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And then the next thing, if we're going to be satisfied to the extent that we notice what is going on in the lives of other people. Solomon was so humble in the beginning, and he had everything that he needed. He didn't have to think about what other people were going through, what other people may have been going through, but he had to come to a place in his life where he had to look in at the lives of other people all around him in order to give him proper perspective on what he had. And so we have to notice what's going on in the lives of other people. And then another principle I think will be helpful for us as we move through these remaining chapters. We're in chapter 6 and 7 tonight. Is to be, if we're going to be satisfied to the extent that we trust God during times of distress. Isn't that something? Because Solomon had a very stressful life, he had a very demanding life. And can you imagine all of the things that was coming against him and all of the pressure that he had to deal with? But if we but remain faithful in the good times as well as in the bad times, if we are satisfied and we know that God is well able to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that we can ever ask or think, God will be pleased with our efforts. And I think sometimes we get to the point where when the bad times come, we release the things that we need to really hold on to help us get through that stressful time. My good friend and brother Dr. Holmes says we have to trust in times of stress. That's good. And so we have to always continue to trust in the Lord. Lean not into our own understanding, and in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he's promised to direct our path. Well, let's jump in. We're going to jump into the sixth chapter tonight. I'm going to do a little reflective comments, and I'll be watching the screen to see what comments that you might have to help us get through this time together. But if we were to put a title on this sixth chapter, we would probably use the titles something like as how Solomon is dealing with this particular chapter. And there are only, I believe, about 12 verses here in this sixth chapter. And so I'll just go through and just kind of lay out a framework for us, and then we'll come back and lift up a couple of those verses. Is life a dead-end street? That would be a good title, or a good handle, if you will, to put on this sixth chapter. Is life a dead-end street? Because here's what Solomon is dealing with here. He's talking about, in the first six verses of this sixth chapter, he's talking about riches without enjoyment. Riches without enjoyment. And you know, as I thought about that, as we kind of break that down, it would be a horrible existence to have everything that you ever thought you wanted, or everything that you ever desired as it relates to riches, and you are not able to enjoy. That would be an awesome awful, if you will, experience. More, you know, so many people, they work hard all of their lives, and they look forward to the comfortable time of retirement, and they look forward to how they're going to spend the time that they've had in terms of gathering all of the riches that they possess, and how they're going to use them as they grow older. But we have to be mindful of a couple of things that one of the things that Solomon came to the realization of is that you can have all of the riches in the world, and if you're not able to enjoy them, he's saying that it's really a dead end street. And so many people, they go after the possession, and they allow that to possess them, but they fail to honor God in the process. So here's one of the keys that I kind of jotted down here. To enjoy the gifts without the giver is really idolatry. So we have to make sure that our enjoyment is centered and focused around God. And so enjoyment without God is just merely entertainment. Wow, isn't that something? And it doesn't satisfy. It runs out. It's an empty life. But enjoyment with God is enrichment, and it brings true joy and satisfaction. So what are you saying, Reverend? This is the first six verses of the sixth chapter of Ecclesiastes. I'm saying that we have to make sure that we understand that all of our blessings come from God, and that we have to incorporate everything that God has blessed us with. We have to honor God with what he's blessed us with, and we have to give him praise, honor, and glory. Even though many times people go after all of the riches, but riches without God is an emptiness. And Solomon put it this way: riches without enjoyment. You know, we don't want to get to a place in life where we have gathered all of these things and we have worked our fingers to the bone, and we are not able to enjoy what we have, and not able to really honor God with what He has blessed us with. So how fortunate a person would be to lack nothing, but how miserable if he or she could be enjoying the blessings of life. In other words, sometimes people get so caught up in trying to catch the possession until they don't take time out to enjoy the life that God has given them as a result of what He has blessed them with. And so what Solomon is really trying to get us to see here, we're in the sixth chapter of Ecclesiastes, he's trying to get us to see is that we really need to enjoy the blessings of God, and we need to enjoy them now. You know, we need to take time and not try to work ourselves and work our fingers down to the bone and waiting for a time where we're going to sit down, relax, and be at ease in Zion. But no, Solomon is saying to us, enjoy the blessings of God and enjoy them now, and thank Him for all of them, not just some of them, but we have to count our blessings and name them one by one. You know the song, Count Your Many Blessings, and you'll be surprised at what God has done. And so I think many times people, they start planning to live, and they start, but we have to start living right now. We can't start planning to live somewhere down the road, because here it is, time is filled with swift transition. No man knoweth the hour or the time when our number will be called. But we've got to be satisfied with what He gives us and what He gives us now. And then we have to use what God has blessed us with in order that we might be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are saved to do some saving, and we're loved to do some loving. And so we can't just calculate what we're going to do later on in life, but we have to make sure that we take time to enjoy life while we have a chance, because tomorrow is not promised. And so I'm not saying don't put aside something, or don't set up something for, you know, your kids or those who you're going to leave behind. Because one of the things that really a lot of people spend more time in thinking about how to live, but never really put much time in trying to think about what's going to happen when they're gone. And so we have to make sure that out of all of the things that we do, we got to make sure that we prepare not just for living, but for dying as well. And that's a conversation now that oftentimes people don't want to have. But no matter how much you possess, if you don't possess the power to enjoy it, you might as well just as well never have been born. That's the way Solomon looked at this thing. This is the sixth chapter, and he's talking about how our life is really a dead-end street. And so he deals with this whole point and this whole situation of vanity. He uses that reference continually throughout Ecclesiastes, and he discusses the three aspects of life, and he looks at some of the mysteries involved around that in the first six verses, as we just finished kind of breaking down. He's talking about riches without enjoyment. And then in verses 7-9, he's talking about labor without satisfaction. You know, that would be really a horrible existence, don't you think? I mean, for you to work and continue to work day in, day out, and never have any satisfaction, and you're doing something and you get into this mundane routine, and you find yourself doing what you do and out of trying to make a living and not really make a life for yourself. And so he deals with, in the latter few verses, verses 10-12, he talks about how there can be many questions without any answers. And so many times I think people go throughout life and they think about some things, but they really don't focus in on the things that should be of importance and significance to them in order for them to be able to maintain what God has blessed them with, and then to maintain balance in their life. And so that's my just kind of recap of what I think is happening here in this sixth chapter, is that he's raising the question, is life a dead end street? And then he kind of deals with this whole issue of vanity, and he talks about how all of the things that we could possess and all of the riches that we might be able to acquire, and how oftentimes we can do all of that and not really have any satisfaction, not really have any joy, not really have any fulfillment. Who would want to live a life like that? And then he talks about how people work and they labor, you know, and try to get all of the overtime they can, all of the time that they put into their job, and they're still not satisfied when they come to the end. And so they have all of these questions, but they don't have any answers. I tell you, so this is a powerful chapter, this sixth chapter. And I just praise God for how God continues to give us principles that apply to our day-to-day existence, and how we ought not to grow weary in well-doing, but in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And when God does bless us, and when God does give us things, then we ought not allow the possessions to possess us, but we ought to be the one in control, and we ought to use what we have while we can use it. We ought to give God his glory and his honor, do what we can while we can, and do it to the glory and honor of God. Don't leave God out. So here's what I would conclude with for this sixth chapter, and here's the thought for just kind of wrapping that up. Even though a person has lived a long and prosperous life, it is ultimately meaningless. He says this because everything that a person has accumulated is left behind at death. Many people strive to prolong life and to keep in good physical health, but people do not spend nearly enough time improving their spiritual health. And Solomon also believes that the human beings cannot take charge of their own destiny. Success in life may not satisfy a person's real needs. Isn't that something? Now, here's a man who had everything, and he came to that conclusion, and he raised the question, is life a dead-end street? I mean, after everything that you try to do to get to where you're trying to go, and then you look around and you see that you have all of the riches but no enjoyment. You have labored, but you're not satisfied. You have more questions than you do have answers. But Solomon is encouraging us to make sure that we understand that even though we are striving after success in life, it really may not satisfy a person's real need. So the real need is that we spend quality time with God, we honor God with everything that he's blessed us with, and we live a life that's pleasing to him, and that we don't exclude him from the process. Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody give God a thumbs up there. And even as we prepare to move into this seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes, if you have comments, I'm trying to watch the screen as well and see if there are any comments. We want to lift those comments up. But that's basically the essence of that sixth chapter of Ecclesiastes. And we want to move to the seventh chapter. And there are only about 14 verses in the seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes. And here's what the title of this particular, the heading of the seventh chapter could very easily be. How to be better off. That could be the title for this seventh chapter. How to be better off. And so in this seventh chapter, Solomon is dealing with some hypothetical situations here, if you will. He looks at and he begins to discuss the importance of us really putting our wisdom into practice and really thinking about what we're doing. He really kind of concludes that through wisdom, though wisdom can't explain all of the life mysteries, it may be at least three positive contributions to our lives. Wisdom can make life better. That was one of the things that he came up with. And then the other two was that, y'all bear with me right here. The other two was that, here we go. Wisdom helps us see life clearly. And then the last one was that wisdom helps us to face life stronger. So he comes up with these three strategies to help us get through life and to help us not be consumed with trying to get all we can all we get, and then sit on the can. He says, wisdom can make life better. That's the first one. And then he says, wisdom, here it is. Wisdom can help us see life clearly. And then the last one is that wisdom helps us face life stronger. And so that's amazing, isn't it? Because we're taking our cue from one of the wisest men to ever live. And God classified him as the one who would have the most wisdom than any other. And then there will be none other after him that would possess the kind of wisdom that he had. And so he went through his whole life, and now he's looking back and he's reexamining everything that he has experienced. And this should be a helpful tool for us, because all too often we want to go through life. We want to allow the standards of the world to be what we use as our marching orders. But the Bible is clear. It says, tells us to be not conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so many times when we get caught up in the rat race of life and we start seeking after things more than we're seeking after the God who has made everything possible, we can end up with the same conclusion as Solomon did. And he went through it all, I'm telling you. And he came to the conclusion that, and he asked the question after everything that he had gone through, is life a dead-end street? I mean, does it really matter that we have all of these things and we are not able to enjoy them? Is life of such where we don't take time out to use wisdom and godly understanding as we make our way through life? And he even talked about how sorrow in the seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes, the first four verses, he talked about how sorrow is better than laughter. Now, he's using a way of trying to help turn the table or twist the table, because sorrow can do more good for the heart than laughter can. That's what he's trying to get us to see. And it's not that, and we know that the Bible tells us that a merry heart, what is it, like medicine? Laughter can be like medicine that heals the broken heart. But sorrow can be like a nourishing food that strengthens the inner person. So, you know, sometimes we look at life and we don't have the proper perspective on what we're going through. And many times people take for granted what God has given them. And so I agree that we should laugh, and that laughter is like medicine that heals the broken heart. But there comes a time where we gain more wisdom and knowledge and understanding from the things that we have to suffer through and the things that we have to go through in order to really get more strength and more understanding about what God really wants us to do. So what are you saying, Reverend? I'm saying many times when we go through difficult times, when we go through the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties of life, those lessons that we learn helps us and develops us to be who God has called us to be. And if we miss those lessons, if we laugh at them and we act like they didn't happen, and that's the sorrow part that he's making reference to, many times we will find ourselves worse off because we didn't learn the lessons or we didn't apply the lessons to our lives so that we might grow from them. And you know, even as you look throughout the Bible, you'll see there'll be various indicators in terms of how people, when they had their backs up against the wall, they were faced with insurmountable odds, and it didn't look like things were going to go in their favor. But God stepped in, and he opened the door, and he made a way. And as a result of that, the person was able to be stronger in their faith, and they were able to move more ferociously, if you will, toward what God had in plan for them. But, you know, if we were asked the question, would you want to have all of an easy road, or would you want to have some difficulties? I'm sure all of us would say, well, Pastor, I really don't want to have difficult times. I really don't want to have to go through a lot. I'd much rather just have what God has for me and not to go through a trial and a tribulation in order to get it. And so that would be the easy way. Wouldn't you agree? But you know, one of the things that we have experienced in our lives, I'm talking about Lady Kim and myself, is that it's through those difficult times, it's through those trying moments, it's through those times where we really didn't have a clue about what God was going to do, that we put our trust and our faith in God, and God got us through that. And when we look back over that situation, we grew stronger together, we grew closer together, and we trusted God even the more because we knew what God could do. And so, you know, I said yesterday how important it is for us. James says, count it all joy when we go through trials and tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of our faith is what worketh patience. And then he says, let patience have her perfect work, that we might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so it's through those difficult times, it's through those trying times, I think, that it really shapes us and molds us, and it brings us closer together, brings us closer to God, and we have a better sense of what God can do, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we're faced with another situation, that if God brought us through that last situation and he strengthened our faith, he encouraged us along the way, he brought us closer together, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if he did it then, guess what? He'll do it again. Come on, somebody type, he'll do it again. So there is no secret, my brother, to what God can do. There's no secret, my sister, to what God can do. What he did back then, he'll do the same thing for you. But we can't not go and think that life is going to be a flowery bed of roses and that we're always going to have an easy way. Jesus puts it this way. He says, in this life, you'll have trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. Watch this now, because I've already overcome the world. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say thank you, Lord. So even at the end of what we're going through, if we continue to trust in the Lord, if we continue to depend on him, he will make a way somehow. Has God made a way for you? Have you ever had to go through a difficult time and you didn't know how you're going to get out? And then when you look back over that situation, you can't help but say that was nobody but God. It was not your friends. It was not your family. It was not your significant other. It was not your spouse. But it was nobody but God. It was not your bank account. It was nobody but God who brought you out. And God is well able, here it is, to do exceedingly and abundantly, hallelujah, above any and everything that we can ever ask or think. There is no secret, watch this now, to what our God can do, what he's done for others. He'll do the same thing for you. And so I'm encouraged tonight, and I don't know who that word is for, because many times we go through a lot of different issues in life, and we go through a lot of things, and we're always looking for the easy way. We're always looking for the easy road. We're always looking for the quickest way. And he talked about how many times we look, the long haul is better than the shortcut. We're always looking for a shortcut. That's what he's talking about in the 7th through the 9th verses of this 7th chapter, how the long haul is better than the shortcuts. Because sometimes when we go through those shortcuts and those easy ways, we end up missing out on the development that God has in store for us, so that he can strengthen us for what yet lies ahead. And so I praise God for the valley experiences. I thank him for how he sustained me when I didn't know how I was going to make it. I praise him when I look back over my life and I begin to think things over. And this is what Solomon is going through here. He begins to think things over, and he begins to put things in proper perspective even before he died. And so we don't have to wait until we get to the end of our lives. We can use this as a model for us to understand that God is yet molding us and making us. He's shaping us. Somebody's on the potter's wheel even tonight, and he's developing us so that we can be stronger for what he's yet leading us to. And God has already laid out our destiny, but it takes us to go through what we have to go through. You have to go through it in order to get to it. Come on, somebody say amen. Yeah, you have to go through it in order to get to it. And so we praise God. The other thing that Solomon talks about here, and we're getting ready to wrap it up tonight, and so I want to encourage you to put your prayer request in if you have any, and any comments. I'm going to try to come back and pick those up. And Dr. Qualis, I see you on the call. You can go ahead and put the information there about our Leadership Institute. It's going to resume this Thursday. And I'm telling you, we had a powerful time in the first module. We're getting ready to go into the second module this Thursday. And we took a week off after we finished up with our workshop. And what a time we had. We talked about it last week. Dr. Michael Wesley came in from Birmingham, he and some of his leaders, and they led us in the workshop on leadership. And now we're getting ready this Thursday to start with our discipleship component and the discipleship module. Dr. Carolyn Butler, she's going to lead us through that time. It starts at 6 o'clock this Thursday. But we're excited about it. The momentum is building, and I believe God is going to do something powerful as a result of us going through this Institute of Leadership training together. And I believe something powerful is going to happen as a result of us staying the course and trusting God. And already new ideas are being birthed. People are getting a chance to see their gifts and how they can use them in order to make a difference. And I'm telling you, by the time we finish with these modules, with the discipleship module is starting, then we're going to go into the stewardship module, and then we'll close out with the outreach aspect. It's going to be a powerful and exciting time, and we praise God for our leaders who are really developing, and they are really getting some valuable information that's going to be important for us going forward. And Dr. Qualis has posted the information there on the screen for those of you who are watching. And as we indicated, we do have those who are on the streaming side as well. We praise God for each of you tonight, and we thank God for his spirit's abiding presence. But Solomon, as we close out this 7th chapter tonight, he went through a lot of different things in order to get clarity, and he's laid for us a foundation to help us to use wisdom and to think clearly about some of the things that we face in life. Even though we don't have the riches or the fortune that Solomon had, we don't have all of the possessions that he had, But wisdom helps us to face life stronger. And when we take time out and think about what we're going through, and we ask God for guidance and direction, and then don't be afraid of the challenges of life. Don't be afraid to go through what God has designed to make you stronger. Then we'll come out much better. And we can't just say that we want to, everything to be an easy road, everything to go our way. Sometimes things are not going to go your way. Sometimes you're going to have to deal with some tragedies. There are going to be times where you're going to deal with some difficult situations. But if you follow godly wisdom and you put these principles into practice, then we'll be stronger as a result. You won't be bent over going through, but you'll stand tall in the face of adversity, and you'll yet give God praise. You won't lose sight of the fact, and you'll keep proper perspective as you go through, and know that if God is with you when you went in, he's going to be with you when you come out. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Well, we're going to prepare to close tonight. And let me give you a recap for the seventh chapter. And then if you have any prayer requests, go ahead and put those in tonight. I didn't read all of the verses. I just did a breakdown of all of the different portions of those verses. There were only 14 verses in the seventh chapter, and there were only like 12 verses in that sixth chapter. And so instead of reading them, I just did a breakdown of each of those sections in that chapter to help you get clarity. But here's what the notes have as we just kind of bring some to a conclusion about what we should expect, what we should have learned as a result of this seventh chapter. We are to enjoy what we have while we can, but realize that adversity and hard times can strike at any time, at any moment. Because of this, life is short. Death is inevitable. We should not ignore it, because it makes sense to plan ahead to experience God's mercy rather than his justice. People who are too righteous and too wise are blind to their own faults. There will always be things that we do not understand. Thinking that you have attained enough wisdom is a sure sign that you have not. Although people are guilty of many wrong and evil deeds, they must think about their lives more seriously and not so foolishly. And that's a good way to summarize that seventh chapter. And this is the learning that we get from just trusting the word that has come to us from Solomon, and how God has placed that importance and the significance of us knowing that wisdom helps us to see life clearly. It also gives us proper perspective on who's and whose we are. Wisdom can make life better for you. And then the last thought in that seventh chapter was that wisdom helps us face life stronger. And so I hope and pray that this study has been a blessing to you tonight. For those of you who came on late, Lady Kim is in one of her doctoral classes tonight, as she's still moving through her doctorate of ministry and preaching degree, and we're so excited about that. She's halfway through, and so we want to continue to encourage her, and you can tell how she's growing stronger as she's going through this process. And you know what? We're the beneficiaries, ATOP, and those of us who have an opportunity to see what God is doing. I tell you, God is up to something, and eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard, neither have there entered into the heart of men the things that God has in store for us. And I see God doing something. I see God working in a powerful and a mighty way, and I know that the best is indeed yet to come. So I thank God for my wife, Lady Kim, and I thank God for all of the support that he's placed around us. I'm so excited about this Institute for Leadership Training, Dr. Butler and Dr. Seymour, and then we have, I guess, on roll about 40 people who are going through in our leadership training, and our leaders who are going through this process. And I'm so excited, and I believe some powerful things are going to happen. And as we indicated earlier, we're going to start with the second module this Thursday, and Dr. Butler will be the lead as we talk about the importance and the significance of discipleship. And so we hope that those who have already registered, registration is closed now, those who are already registered and a part of the first module for leadership, that you'll be on point and in place this Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m. All right, well, we're going to come to the close. Let's see. Dr. Qualee said, don't forget the dean, Dr. Murray. All right. Yep, God has placed me in leadership, and I'm excited about those whom he has placed around me, and I'm so grateful for our ATOP church family. Did not God show himself strong on yesterday, and what an awesome time we had. And this has just been a major flow, a major anointing that's just moving through the church. Lives are being changed. He's adding to the church. And we praise God for the young man that came forth on yesterday. And we're looking forward to many more who are going to come forth as a result of what God is going to do. All right, well, let's prepare to go to God in prayer. I don't see any prayer requests. Let me scroll back down to see if anyone listed any prayer requests. We have a powerful, I see Sister Rucker on tonight, and we have a powerful Sunday school that happens each Sunday at 8:30 a.m. And those of you who have not been back, Sunday school is in session, and we have some of the best teachers in the country right at ATOP who are powerful, anointed teachers of the gospel. And I tell you, by the time they get to service, and that's really kind of helping and getting everything in motion, by the time they come into the sanctuary out of Sunday school, it's already a glow and an anointing that's flowing even before the service starts. And so we praise God for our Sunday school that happens each Sunday at 8:30 a.m. I teach the men's class, and we have other teachers who teach all of the other classes. And so we're excited about that. And don't forget now, this Wednesday at noon, we will have, of course, our noonday Bible study. And we praise God for each of you who are on the streaming side, as well as those of you who are on the Facebook side. And so we look forward to what God is going to do this coming week. And we praise God for what he's already done. And we continue to lift up, I see one prayer for Angela White on the streaming side. We want to lift her up. And if there are others, then we want to make sure that we get those requests in. All right. Well, let's go to God in prayer as we prepare to close out tonight, and thank each of you for being a part of what God is doing in our lives. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for how you continue to bless us even in spite of ourselves. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for each person who's viewing this particular virtual Bible study tonight. And we thank you for how you continue to order our steps. We pray, dear Lord, that you will continue to keep us in your care, that you will bless as only you can. You will heal, you will deliver, and you will set free, and that you will make ways out of no ways. You already know the need. You already know the concern. And so, God, we release that to you now, believing that you're well able to do exceedingly and abundantly above any and everything that we can ever ask or think. So keep us in your care. Help us even as we go through to discern wisdom and your godly wisdom as we make decisions going forward. And so, God, we love you and we honor you. Thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God said, amen. All right. Well, God bless you. Thank you so very much for being a part of this time together tonight. Go in peace, and may the peace of God go with you. Until next time, you be blessed.